Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, this is Captain Poodle speaking. Are you ready to find love?
Yes, ahoy, matey.
Love. Exciting and new. Go online. They're catfishing you.
Shocker.
Fiance.
Soon you'll be flying to parts unknown.
90-day fiance.
Marrying someone you've only met on your phone.
Be they French or Chinese, a brand new K-1 visa's the key.
Ooh, the key to what, Poodle?
To love.
It's reality, yes. Let's love.
So, Muhammad.
Yes.
I was afraid that you weren't going to like us anymore.
Yes, that's right.
Is that true?
Yes.
Do you?
No, I don't like you at all.
What? What?
I felt judged, and everyone laughed at me, and I find you all apostates. But it's okay, because I say it in a voice like this that makes you, and I'm smiling.
I'm so confused.
It kind of seems like I'm joking.
Yeah, I don't know if you're serious or you're going to hurt me.
I could wish all of you to burn an eternal lake of fire, and I smile and see in this voice so you don't think it is.
Your eyes are pretty.
Yeah. That's...
Even when he said it, I was like, his eyes are so pretty.
Yeah, that's right. I don't like you.
And the other truly see you next Tuesday thing he said earlier,
oh.
I just have to say it.
Y'all, this is reality gay.
Hello.
We're jumping right in to this
when
episode.
When he said, she's like, I just need you to be more open.
I'm open that I don't like them.
He is. Y'all, this is...
Oh, it's so shady and bitchy, but I love it.
90 Day Fiancé, Season 9, Episode 14, Part 2 for us.
Temperature check.
Temperature check.
Is it oral or rectal?
It's always rectal for Poodle. And for Maddie.
Whoop. Ooh, that's I'm running a little hot.
Well, it's always a bit 5 degrees cooler down in the butthole region for me. Runs hot. Yeah, like you said.
It's like Santa Monica.
Well, 101.
It's a little cooler.
That sounds good, Donnie. Now stick it in. Thanks, Donnie.
Y'all, this is our last episode we're doing before we go on vacation.
Vacation.
I'm drinking already because it's vacation for me.
Yeah. Don't refill intermission because you're going to get rough for Act 2.
So what is vacation?
That's fine, but you want to have sex later because you got to get banged before you drive out to the country. Because if you think you're going to find any men that are going to fuck you up,
ooh,
that
I'm
cabin,
a little worried.
Going to be some deliverance shit.
Yeah.
You don't want that.
I might have to go to Reno and convince somebody.
Or maybe when you're driving. Oh, no, you're flying.
I'm flying, yeah.
Yeah, so you got to get dick down tonight before you leave.
Yeah, you're right. Ain't no one's going to want to drive out all
so
the way.
So you can't get too drunk because then you can't perform your signature moves. You'll just
That's
pass
true.
Out. Wow, I was just able to convince you to stay coherent for
I can't
our show.
Do my back handspring and,
you
and
won't
I,
be able
and
to
I
do
land
it.
On a dick.
No. No, you're, as you
it's
call
talent.
Your, yeah, he calls it his Nadia coma dick.
And they play Nadia's theme. Do, 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 do. Otherwise, no, the Young and the Restless theme.
Yeah, 10.
Nadia Comaneci. Comia comma dick.
I don't know why that same theme is so sad when she really achieved so much.
It is very Russian.
Lives in Oklahoma now in Norman with Bart Connor.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Are they together?
Yes. I don't think
I think it's Bart Connors.
Connors, you're right.
Yeah.
Because I think he originally maybe is from Oklahoma, but they live in Norman. They have their coach like gymnastics or
why does
world champion now.
Everything have an Oklahoma connection?
Because everything does. All roads.
I think that just there's something about
I wonder if they're still together though.
There's something
know.
About Oklahoma that makes you all want to relate it to everything.
I really don't want
is
to.
Is it because there's
but
just
I have to say
nothing
it. It's
there?
Like, it's like popping a pimple. If I see a pimple, I'm gonna pop it.
I don't think those two really go together. Y'all, this is our
on vacation.
Before we are on vacation. You're hearing this now. We're on vacation.
We already talked about in part one.
I'm out in the wilderness somewhere trying to like recover my chi somewhere.
Yeah, and I'm going to be in Monterey living my
basic bitch white woman life.
Taking a lot of pictures that I'm not going to post on Instagram and wearing a boho chic hat.
Probably.
That's what I'm doing. I'm living my Laura Dern moment.
You're going to rich white lady land.
Because I feel like Laura Dern from
I'm
Big
going,
Little Lies.
I'm going full wilderness.
I'm having that breakdown and I'm finally getting what I want.
I need quiet. I need a writing reset. I need a creative reset for myself.
Sure. Yeah. I need to go to antique shops and talk to older women.
There you go.
That's what I want. I even told myself on the way here, you might come back with a lot of ideas for us. I'm not even thinking about that. I've told myself, if you start to think about the podcast.
No, I'm not thinking about the podcast. I'm thinking about my own. The only time creativity happens for me is when my brain isn't crowded with other ideas.
Oh, agreed.
And I guarantee you, I will have ideas for the podcast, but
I will probably jot them down.
But you don't have to act on them.
No, I'm not.
You can let them kind of grow and fester or whatever you want to do.
I am bringing my journal very artist way so I can journal a bit. I enjoy doing that to help quiet my mind.
It's good.
So anyway, y'all, we'll be back in a week and we'll do I already know because we're just say this now. We're not covering next week's 90 Day Fiancé. I guarantee you it's probably going to
be
the most explosive, amazing episode. So, y'all, if you want a whole recap of that, we highly recommend Kim and Kyle, 90 Day Cray Cray.
Yeah.
We haven't done a collab with them yet, but there's 420.
Pink Shade does it.
Pink Shade. I was just about to say.
420 Fiancé, 90 Day Couple.
Married to Reality.
Married to Reality does it.
So, there's all of our friends that we are happy to refer you to for the week.
Please.
We're just going to do
You have so many. You have a plethora of options.
Plethora. You're going to get Below Deck. So
and Badoo. You're going to get Below Deck Man and Badoo.
And
Below Deck Down Under.
And so you're going to get and we will come back and do 90 Day UK and we will come back and cover Lip. Because if you think we're going to skip an episode of those two gay men and Gabby and Abby and whatever Frankie, we're not missing that, y'all. We're going to cover every second of that.
Next week Gabby actually goes back home to the underwater city of Atlantis.
Exactly.
And I was mistaken when I was talking about Like Water for Chocolate. Someone reminded me it's not her aunt or her grandmother. It was her mother who died, and her mother, the ghost of her mother, kept haunting her.
Ah, okay.
So
what's going to happen to you. Which is why you're
every
able
time
to
I climax, my mother's ghost will go, Jaybird, what are you doing?
Jaybird, calm down, Jaybird. That's a little much.
All right, Meryl Streep, calm it down.
We got it. Y'all making a porno film.
Every time I climax, my mother appears and tells me to tone it down.
Tone down. And actually, and she's going to turn to the other guy and say, I'm so sorry. I didn't raise him that way. I know he read my book, and they didn't do that in my book. That's what she's going to say.
I don't like to talk about my mother's ghost visiting, but that's funny.
That's funny. Okay, we're going to jump into Eva Muhammad. But I'm going to get, well, I think you should save it for the top of Act Two.
Okay, good idea.
After the commercial.
I have something for, Poodle, just as a teaser.
I'm going to let him talk about Leah.
You guys
Michelle
have been coming at me, sending Beanie, me articles about Beanie Feldstein.
Burnt Feldstein.
Beanie Feldstein, Leah Michelle, and Funny Girl. I have opinions, of course.
I'm going to let him. I actually probably will just let you talk and I'll go to the bathroom. I don't even need to be here for it. I don't care. I might go get a Dr. Pepper.
I'll just say this. This was inevitable.
Save it.
All this was inevitable.
Save it. So that's going to be at the top of the commercial, after the commercial effect. Just because I thought it'd be a good way to.
I like that. I'm about it.
All right, y'all. Eva Mo, and also, I really kind of want to get to this. 43 days to wed, y'all. Think about it. Think about it. Think about where everybody else is. Again,
everyone else is like, everyone else is closer, at least speeding 20, 30.
Ari and Benny are literally on like a Japanese comet train or one of those super trains.
Yeah.
Going, woo!
Karen and Guillermo are getting married tomorrow.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Karen, they are there. Eva Muhammad, not I. Do you think he could still go home? I think so.
Yes.
If two, that will be. I will be gobsmacked if we have two couples from 90 Day Fiancé that go home. They almost all of them.
They almost always get
married.
I like entertaining this train of thought, but I still kind of think there's part of me that still goes, "What are you talking about? They're all going to get married." I mean, but I'd still if I had my druthers. Excuse me, I still think Thais and Patrick are the longest shot.
Yeah,
mostly
yeah.
because of she doesn't
want to be in America.
She's not a green card thirst magnet like Muhammad
is. Muhammad is like, and do we think Muhammad even really loves Eve?
No,
I don't even think we're talking about this. Like, what's
he's convinced
love?
Himself.
I don't think honest, but kind of what you said. I don't think Muhammad really loves. Maybe I don't think that got
twinks.
Programmed in the robot function for him.
He loves twinks.
Y'all, because he gay.
He gay.
He gay.
He gay.
So it's the next morning after the big fight. Muhammad, I was really mad and upset last night. And
Eve's like, it hurt my feelings. He doesn't care about it. He doesn't care how much the wedding means to me.
I get that. I get that. I get, even though she is 48 years old and still wanting her dream 20-year-old wedding.
It does. I don't want to make fun of her for it, but it just seems absurd. And I just want to tell them, I said this at the live shows, have your you could have done this and not told anyone, not told. You could have told the show.
They could have pulled a Molly and Louise.
Or you could have. They could have been married, like Jabri and Biona, obviously.
Although
probably are.
I bet Muhammad is programmed robot function. He can't lie.
True. Oh, that may be true. But they could have done it, or just, y'all, you can write away for marriage papers. And it seems like this is all a thing for her, that she only wants her Cinderella fantasy. And for him, all he wants is that green card.
All he
wants. And it just doesn't seem like
he gives a shit about her.
No.
And that's what she's sensing. Yep. That's what she's not saying underneath.
And
she's too scared to admit
dumbass.
That. She's dumb, but also I think she's too scared to admit the reality of, like, does he not even care? Because she says, he doesn't care about the wedding. Insert, he doesn't care about me.
Did you hear her say, I hope this isn't a pattern? And I went, ah!
And I just screamed another
one of my prehistoric bird emu cries. Ah! No, that's a peacock cry. Ah!
That's true.
Ah! Help! Help!
So.
I'm a celebrity. Get me out of here.
And so Eve says, you know, or she says, like, I didn't move the wedding on purpose. And he said, I just think we could do it early and then we're not stressed. And then I can see my mother.
I need to breastfeed.
Because he needs to
I
see
need
mother.
I need to see my mother. Everything she is, I am too.
So meanwhile, cut to Tatiana's coming to get acupuncture or cupping or whatever. Someone posted in Sister Squad. They're like, wait a minute. She's a doctor. And like, Yeah, you have to, like, the acupuncturist we go to, he went to school and you become a doctor. It's a different type,
obviously.
I
want to make one thing clear.
It's a lot of study to do.
I would not want my, either my acupuncturist.
Your neighbor's vacuuming now.
Are you kidding
me? Yeah, I just heard the vacuum.
This is a Sunday. She usually doesn't do that.
I just heard the vacuum.
We might have to pause it then because it's too loud.
No, but Christina says that we don't hear
okay,
it
good.
On the tape.
So, but anyway, she is just talking girl talk while she's doing this treatment. And I would not want that.
I don't think she's here for that.
I agree. They're just, and like, I will also say for her cupping right here, which is a really thin amount of skin, I was surprised at how long she left those cups on.
I've never had cupping on my chest.
I haven't either, but she left them on for a very long time.
Well, mine leaves them on. He leaves them on, like, on my, like, arm. He'll put them on and then go out of the room.
But how long?
Oh, wait. Yeah, he doesn't leave them on the whole
no.
time. He leaves them on maybe, like, 5 minutes.
This felt like it was even longer than that.
Maybe. Some people do, though. He said, though, Antonio, that's our acupuncturist.
That's true. Maybe it is longer sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I know for my back, I can't have them on that long because I can't have my gentleman callers seeing cupping scars. I don't mind having cupping things on my back, but they can't be too purple.
Have you told him that for your tricks? I mean, our acupuncturist is a gay man who probably understand.
No, I'm fine with it, but it just shouldn't look too damaged.
You don't want to bruise. Oh, okay. Well,
because I'd bruise easily.
Okay. You do. Yeah. You do.
Look, y'all.
So Tatiana's like, what's going on at the wedding? She's like, well, he got really upset and I got kind of hurt. Things weren't getting accomplished, and then he freaked out, and then he said that he could get another sponsor.
She's like, and what? That's so rude.
I love that Eve is doing this, kind of like doing a pressure point on Tatiana's neck, and Tatiana totally goes up, slaps her in and is like, wait, bitch, what?
It's just
what?
Everything she was doing with her treatment is gone.
It was totally that thing with the dog of, Pam, we have tickets to the Beyonce concert. And the dog. If you haven't seen that meme,
it's really funny.
I watch that meme when I just need to laugh my ass off. It's one of my favorites.
Pam, we have tickets to the Beyonce concert.
And the dog turns around.
So she says, also, I don't know, like, do you think he wants to see us again? And I went, yes, I do. I don't care if he does.
But no, he does not.
Now, question.
Yeah, that... Oh, I thought you were vomiting.
I was having a stroke.
Okay, yeah.
This is absolute fuckery.
Oh,
this
yes.
is absolute fuckery getting him around these women again. This is show-oriented. It has to be. There's no need... We would need to have him hang out with her
there
friends
again. So I think I do have a theory why it could not be show-oriented. And the reason I think is, first of all, Eve talks about this is her family of choice, that she's not close with her family.
Yeah.
So she talks about that these people all really mean a lot to her. And Eve's pattern is to self-sabotage herself.
That might be true.
So I can see Eve feels like, wait, no, you need to love my friends because... She does with Mohammed. She wants him to just blindly accept her because it's this. It all goes back to she wants him to love her because she feels unlovable.
Right.
But she does this with her faith. She does this with her friends. She did this with her son,
Theron.
Theron. Which I kind of enjoyed. Think about it. She does this with everything to set him up. If he doesn't love this, then how can I love him? It's her pattern of self-sabotage.
Yep. And she also says, I don't really have a relationship with my family. My friends are my family.
So I think she's just setting him up.
And then at one point, Tatiana says, who does he hate the most? And I went...
She said, tell me. I know it's me.
And this is why I'm going to say...
He's not going to say anything.
This is what I'm going to say. These friends don't want her... Besides the fact they know he's not right for her, They're meddlers, y'all. And besides that, they don't want Eve to be with someone because she's the friend they all talk about when she's not there. She's the sad sack.
They're the, like, and not in a bad way, but they just like, they sit down and they go, oh, Rhonda, what are we going to do about Eve?
I would say that is a bad way because it is.
I know, but they
making,
don't. Exactly. I'm sorry. They don't think it's a bad way.
It is making, y'all, Eve makes them feel better about themselves.
But think about, who does Aunt Jane and Mother Poodle talk about?
Oh, they.
You know, they sit
they?
Down and she goes, oh,
that's true.
Mother Poodle, have you heard about what's her name?
They do. Who do they have?
Aunt Peggy and Darla used to do it when they talked.
Oh, that's.
They don't talk now.
Who do they have? That is a woman.
Is it another member of the family?
Yes. No, or it's a. It is my Aunt Jane's sister-in-law. Oh, you ought to see what she's. My Aunt Jane says, you know, I don't know what's going to. That's my Aunt Jane's voice. I don't know what's going to happen to Rita. I don't know what she's going to do.
Do you think
you know what? She, you know what her husband
Rita?
Did to her the other week?
What? What'd she do?
I'm going to tell you this, Mother Poodle. I can't believe this. This don't go any farther.
I won't say a word.
Cut to. Jay Bird. You will not believe.
A
what,
mother always
you will not
calls
believe
her gay son
what Rita did to Jane.
My mother always calls me about the knitting group gossip.
Yeah. Y'all, it is.
Would Aunt Jane ever come to a show?
She might. We're having problems with her her son, my first cousin, and him being a complete Trump tard. Having problems there.
So you're not close with her son?
Not anymore.
Okay, yeah, that's happened in families.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Aunt Jane might not come?
No.
Would she get freaked out by the gay stuff?
No, not really. She and I have a good relationship.
Oh, that's good.
We have to kind of stay away from a lot of things.
Oh, yeah.
Just because.
Yeah. I get that. I had that with some family members, too. Yep. So, yeah.
Yep. But not Mother Poodle and Aunt Jane.
The poor that sister-in-law, Rita, is a dumb bitch to them.
They do talk about her all the time. And I think she just beat cancer last year.
She just beat it. Y'all, that reminds me, though, too, because I believe in prayer. I believe in love. I believe in energy. Send it to my Aunt Peggy and her daughter. I call her Sissy, but her daughter, Kelly. Aunt Peggy is...
This is not the crazy daughter.
No, Aunt Peggy's having a... No, Lolo's her other daughter.
Oh.
But Aunt Peggy's having a rough time with this chemo. It's knocking her ass out. And she got COVID because everybody's getting COVID again now. So if you could just extend that out to my Aunt Peggy, I would appreciate it.
Send energy prayers.
I sent that video from our
Ravens.
Live show in Dallas. Yes, I sent it. If you're a witch, cast a spell, please. I won't tell Aunt Peggy that.
No, because she'll think you're going to... Satan's tomb.
Oh, she'll be like, oh, I can't. Well, I'm going to die now, Matthew. That's what she'll say. But anyway, I sent that video and she said, that is so sweet that they sent that video in Dallas. I would have been there to talk to all of them.
She would have.
She would have waited in the VIP line like my
Y'all,
mother.
She would have talked to everybody.
Every single one of them and told them stories about me as a kid and all that. Anyway.
Yeah, your mother was the mayor of Reality Gaze.
It's true. But
she was just talking to everybody.
But you are right. Rhonda or what it taught, they all sit down and go, did you hear what Eve did
Yeah, I'm
now?
Telling you.
You are
that's
so
why
right.
they don't want her to get married.
But here's the deal. Even though they went about it the completely wrong judgment, like I like to call them, she calls them the squad. I call them the harpies because I feel like that's really what they are, just harpies. They're kind of right about Muhammad.
They are.
He is so stoic. And we see in this episode, and so judgmental of Eve. If he talked the way Bilal in a normal voice, we would hate this guy.
100%. I totally agree with you. But because that Coke bottle whisper across a grave, otherworldly, coming from beyond the veil voice.
I can't wait to talk to his mother next week. Because what if he talks to his mother and she goes, hello, but like, because I'm like, no one speaks this way and it's not learned.
No.
Unless there's something like
That's my voice for Mama Moneybags. Hello, son. But then when she goes, that's when her nice voice.
Yes.
When Osweilu's mom, she goes, hello, son. And then when she goes, give me the money.
That's all that I want. But no, but I want to say, people, though.
I want money.
People usually speak somewhat like their family.
No, it's true.
Unless
I think he is the only boy in the family. So,
but unless you're like us and we came out as like flaming homosexuals,
mincing, lisping.
Although we did talk like our
prattling
families,
queens,
but we took on these effeminate qualities with our. So I want to know, where does Muhammad get this?
If you saw a video, home video footage of me at age 8 talking about something, explaining a story, you would say, who's that aspiring drag queen?
Same.
You would say, that's why the idea of me as a child passing is laughable.
Oh, yes.
I kind of could do it, but actually, when I got to age 10, I realized, oh, I can't do this, and I have to really shut down. But before that, people were like, generation drag, that looks familiar.
Yeah, but even when I got older, I tried to clamp it down, but I couldn't.
Yeah, it was
couldn't
hard to
hide
pass.
It. Yeah. It was hard. So, I don't know. I'm fascinated to meet his mother. She looked like she's just staring over there. She kind of looked like, and I'm not talking about her size. I really didn't notice her size, but it reminded me of like, she was her sitting there and she had that littler person by her. And it looked like kind of Jabba the Hutt just looking at Teela, just pissed off while that little thing chained up beside
Teela,
her.
Teela,
like,
no.
Or not
Leia.
Teela. I just combined my
thing. You did.
Leia's chained up beside, like, what do you want?
What?
I'm not talking about her weight. I'm just talking about her face was just kind of like, you know how Jabba the Hutt always looks like he has throw up in his mouth?
We need to move on.
That's how it looked. Sorry, y'all. I've been watching Obi-Wan, so it's all in my brain.
I need to download that.
It's good. I like it. I started episode, but now I'm finished up Miss Marvel, which I love.
People
It's joyous.
People really like that.
It's joyous. It's just so fun and joyous.
They said that it took a long time to get into it, though. Most people have
said
that.
I'm on episode 4 now, and like it was just, but it really, it's just such a joyous way and celebrating adolescence.
I think it's the first Indian American.
The family's Pakistani.
Pakistani, yeah.
Uh-huh, so, but I love that it brings you, it reminds me of kind of what Luke Cage did, in that, I know that's very different because you're thinking, where are you, but
I didn't make it 4 episodes.
But what I loved
show.
About Luke Cage is that the show was just, even though it was U.S. and New York, it said, we're going to really talk about black culture in this show. And this show really talks about like Pakistani American culture, and it doesn't try to, those shows didn't try to educate teach us. They just said, this is our life. And it's never this moment of, let's have a character come in that we have to explain what we're doing so all the white American people can get it. It's not that at all. It's so good. It's so good.
Can we stop shouting?
So good.
So, y'all,
I want a 3 Musketeers.
I'm riding my bicycle to meet Eve.
Muhammad, you didn't get lost this time.
What do you mean? I never get lost, bitch.
I told you to stop using Waze in your programming because something's wrong with it. I'm glad you're using the Google map.
She wants to do, she's like, so, Muhammad, I want to do a fire ceremony. And in confessional, she's like, I've always been so open for everything dealing with Muhammad's religion. Not true.
Let's
put a pin in that.
We're going to walk that back later.
She did go to a mosque. What else has she done? Now, that's, you know what? She has tried to make her
She got rid of
wardrobe,
some of her clothes.
But what have we seen her? It seems like when he talks about elements of Islam, she seems confused.
Very confused. And as if she has heard it for the first time.
Yes.
Again, y'all, didn't think she called Aunt Bing. Don't think she did a search.
Or Uncle Google.
No.
Well, I think,
not even Cousin Opera.
And I think... and y'all, Cousin Opera always needs an update. I also need to say that if you ever download Opera, you will be given so much spam.
You will.
I don't know what's going on. But I also need to say... neither has he really asked anything about her religion or and the thing is, she has a spirituality which is fluid and does seem to integrate things from an indigenous religious perspective and her own spirituality.
It's very not hodgepodge, but what's the word?
It is additive And it is something that she believes in. Now, if he really cared about her and wanted to learn, he would do more than tolerate. He would let her explain it. He's not interested in that.
No, he even, yeah. And even before he said, I'm not going to allow someone to interrogate me, which I'm glad.
Yeah.
But they get this. I did laugh because I went, oh, Eve must be doing some type of ceremony because she put a cute boho chic braid in her hair.
Yeah, this is when I feel like it feels a little bit like it's just for Instagram.
It you want to believe that she takes it seriously, but it feels very performative.
And the fact her friend Rochelle is there, and they're all adding to it, and she's brought intention papers, and it feels like we are adding. And I'm it, whatever. Do whatever makes you feel right.
Do it. Yeah, it feels.
But also
Instagrammable.
But
yeah,
also,
that's a good word
but also,
for.
Do whatever makes you feel right. But when someone says, "What is the basis of this?" Don't get upset about it, because it does seem like it's okay for someone to question your
because
religion.
That's the thing that is weird on both of their part. It's not like she ever sits down and says, "So why do women need to cover their head when they
never.
Go into?" A mosque or going to mosque, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Why do women cover their head? Or why do
or
I
why need, do, why do why do I need to cover
it,
up?
It's the lack of curiosity on both of their part, because Muhammad doesn't ask, why do you blow on the stick?
No.
What are you blowing into
no.
and put it into the fire? And neither of them is explaining it to the...
they're both self-involved. They
I
don't
both
give a shit.
Watched this and I went, oh, you're both kind of perfect for each
yep.
other. And this is actually where I think... Even more so, I think they will get married because they both, she again
yep.
just wants her Aladdin trophy boy prince
yep.
and he just wants the fucking green card
yep.
and they don't care. And then
it's convenient.
And then he's going to divorce her
real
when
quick.
He's done with
as
this.
As soon as he can.
As soon as he can be on his own, he will fucking leave her ass.
We haven't seen someone this transactional since Luis, you guys.
Yes.
I really believe that.
Yeah, I agree
and,
with that.
And
people, at least from we've seen. We,
yeah.
we haven't seen 90 Day Fiancé.
We haven't seen six.
We haven't.
Six is the only one we haven't seen yet. We kind of started with seven. But six is the one we haven't seen. We haven't seen a lot of the Happily Ever Afters yet.
Yeah.
But I think six is the only OG we haven't seen.
Yeah.
Y'all, so. our class list of season five, I am so proud of our classless that we've done.
It's been
I
really
loved
fun.
This season.
Season we just did season five. We're finishing up now. It's on the $5 tier. I have to say, it's very much not to sell it, but it's kind of worth the $5 because it's just joyous to do.
Season five
oh,
also
it's a good
was
season.
Bonkers. And it was still before we had a lot of influencers. Because
yeah.
I'm telling you now, even Eve wants to be an influencer,
yeah.
y'all.
100%.
It's Shida. Eve, definitely
again,
Thais.
The most influencer season we've
I
ever had.
I definitely agree with you. I think Emily wants to be an influencer.
Yes.
Kara, for sure.
Kara should be an influencer. She's good
Kara,
at it.
Kara is good at it.
Yeah.
But almost every, at least one person in each of these couples wants to be an influencer.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's where we live now.
Yeah.
So.
I think it's just normal. And so, but.
Don't love it, but oh well.
Y'all, this season's so good. It's on the $5 tier. Again, we should mention this more because people forget. If you do the $8 tier, that gets you Plathville, which is really good. And also gets you...
And it gets you Love After Lockup, which comes back, the week after we get back from vacation.
Yeah, and the $8 tier also gives you this show for free or without commercials.
Yes.
So that's where you can listen without commercials. So
I think we have one of the best Patreons out there.
I'm proud of it.
Heavily updated.
We do a lot for it.
It's and I
probably
think,
a lot more than other people.
Well, I think it comes to the point we're Southern, and I think both of us think we need to make sure people get their money's worth to our detriment.
To our detriment, yeah.
But both of us have that. We're like, we need to give them this because we don't think this is that. And, you know,
yeah,
just us.
Just us. But anyway, y'all, highly worth it. If you haven't, even if you don't listen to us, if you want a good binge, watch season five.
Season five. Wow.
Such a good season.
I mean, I would, you can skip around to different seasons, but
four was great too.
If you've
actually,
never,
but not
if you've never seen an earlier season, like you just started this one or you started season seven, go back to the originals. You can do, like, I would do maybe 5, 3, 2, 4.
I like season 4 more than 2.
Oh, maybe you're right.
But, because 4 was our first Danielle Muhammad, wasn't it?
No, 2 was our first Danielle Muhammad.
It was?
Yeah. I think so. No, maybe 3 was Danielle Muhammad.
It wasn't? Because 2 I liked. 2 was like, 1 Brett was and Russ and Powell.
Brett and Daya was...
right. Russ and Powell were on season 1, right?
I hated season 1, but you liked it enough.
It was fine. It was just very real.
Yeah.
It was fine. It's Kira only like 6 episodes.
Al and I will never get over. Oh. Jesus.
Anyway.
Yeah, a quick Google of Alan and Kira Yam, y'all, will make you
We don't have time for this. We don't have time. Vacation, you got to get
fucked.
Yeah,
you're right.
All right, so they do the ceremony.
They're cleansing her stones.
They're cleansing her stone, and...
He says, if you wish something, why not ask God?
Why not ask God? Okay, I understand. But then he follows it up with and says, this goes against my beliefs. And I went, fuck you.
Yeah.
Because just because someone has another faith that doesn't align or isn't the same as your belief doesn't mean it goes against your belief.
I would be interested to hear what about it does. I think it may have to do with something about how you pray and for Muslims especially, the way you talk about God is very specific.
Mm-hmm.
And so it may have something to do with that. And a lot of times there isn't a lot of wiggle room in how you, in some concepts of Islam. So that may be an issue.
Yeah, it might be. And if you look at that, I'm not defending her because I don't think she has. But I get why Eve feels like she's been more open than he is. Because Eve is more of, she has never said.
But her religion and her spirituality is very fluid. His version of Islam is not.
Is not. And so I think she thought, well, I'll accept what he does as long as I don't have to be involved. And he'll accept what I do as long as he – no, he's not going to accept what you do, honey.
Nope.
And he's going to shame you tell you it's wrong.
It is a false equivalency.
Yes.
What she is saying that I've been open to him and I want him to be open to me. It is a false equivalency because
– That's what I'm expecting. She expects the same treatment.
Your two religions – could not be more different in their approach to belief.
And I do think that she thinks, well, I can walk into the mosque like and wear a tank top and have my hair down because I'm not Muslim, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does.
It's casual worship and I will say Islam is one of these faiths that it's harder to be a casual worshiper.
Yeah.
Everyone, you guys, for every religion, you have to decide how much of it you want to accept, how much of it you want to say, that doesn't matter to me as much. Yep. You know, but
why I could never be Assembly of God. God, they go to church so much.
They go to church
Wednesday
a lot.
Night, Sunday morning, Sunday night. Oh, when do you have fun? Sometimes on Friday night. I'm like,
no, you go to the lock-in on Friday night.
I was so happy to be a Catholic. We went on Saturday night to 5:30 Mass for an hour, and that was it.
And it was like an hour on the dot.
On the dot. We were out eating Mazzio's pizza by 6:15.
And the priest told you everything you needed to do. You never learned a thing about the Bible.
It was great.
It is... Protestantism and Catholicism are so different in their approach to – that's why Protestantism is such a much more – goes along with the fundamentals of being an American in so many ways. And Catholicism does to an extent, but it's so much an older European model of thought of letting the state or the Vatican take care of it.
Yeah.
In America would say, no, I'm going to do my own thing. I think that's all I have. It's basically them finding, they're like, feel the full moon energy. And
yeah, I mean,
says,
we already did the scene where Tatiana was like, so I was worried you didn't like us. And he basically
that's
says,
right,
he's
I
like,
don't
yeah.
like you.
I will say.
I don't even pray for you.
That what the women should have done They have never apologized to him.
That's true.
They should have apologized to him.
Let's be honest. They were trying to humiliate him.
And let's be honest.
Talking about watching porn.
Let's be honest. Eve didn't ask her friends to give him another chance at all.
Nope.
She, when she was with Tatiana, she said, I'd like for y'all to meet again. Whereas Muhammad, she's saying, give them a chance. I'd like for you to do that.
And that's why I want to say, I think...
She's so defensive. Oh, yeah, sorry.
I was going to say, I think the producers of 90 Day Fiancé are geniuses because in almost every couple, it is very easy to find, well, that person is the enemy. That person is the villain. And we're going to only go for that person. But then if you think about it a little bit, it's kind of easy to think, but that person has been put upon as well. So you can see it. You can both sides it quite easily. We haven't had complete villains until we go back all the way to like Mark and Nikki, because even Bilal and Shida, you have to see Shida gives as good as she gets sometimes.
Sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah. And so,
and as I said on the live show, at this point, Shida knows who she's marrying.
She totally does.
She knows who she's marrying.
She knows who she's marrying.
This is not a woman who is at the mercy of a man.
She is not a complete victim.
No, I agree.
Agreed.
All right.
We should take a commercial.
We're going to take a commercial and we'll be
back. And I'm going to get a refill.
Poodle's short rant.
Sibling fights are unavoidable. But what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Poodle, I gotta tell you, I think I just made one of the best investments for myself.
Oh, thank God. You got rid of those braces and decided to sew your mouth completely shut. Perfect.
No, the doctor just added 4 more months.
Oh, I think he's trolling me at this point.
No. See, now that I'm putting myself out there...
No one wants to hear about your dating life.
But you talk about yours all the time.
Because mine is interesting.
Well, I wanted to let you know that I took a page from your book and it worked.
Ooh, you slept with their ex to make them jealous?
No.
You pulled their credit report?
What?
Made a copy of their keys while they were sleeping?
How are you not in jail?
Deny, deny, deny.
No, Poodle. I decided to get myself a pair of Me Undies great new underwear, which makes my, important parts look more junk forward.
Junk forward? Wait, are you talking about the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies?
Yes, the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies.
I love the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies. There's no other way to date in this world. If you're not dating junk forward, you're doing it wrong.
I think you're right. And you never told me that they're so comfortable.
Well, usually I'm not wearing them that long. But yes, they are so soft. And the more you wash them, the softer they get. And they still keep you tucked and lifted in all the right places. When I wear them, I can barely keep men away from me. Oh, the way they stare. They look like burly, hungry cavemen searching for a nice meal after a long caveman day of nomadically crossing the tundra. To them, I'm like a piece of meat roasting over an open, smoky flame.
Speaking of smoking, not only does my junk look great in MeUndies, but my butt looks hot.
Okay, no one wants to hear your over-sexualized descriptions. Have some class.
Sissies, we've fallen in love with MeUndies, and you can too. They have a style for everyone. From all-black classics to fun, expressive prints, MeUndies has a look for everyone. Plus, they come in sizes extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for everybody.
And MeUndies isn't just about underwear. Explore the lounge collection featuring joggers, hoodies, onesies, and more. With unmatched comfort, MeUndies signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable, stretchy, and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all-day wear.
And they use sustainably sourced materials and work with partners that care for their workers.
And you know Mother Poodle loves a return policy. Not happy with the first pair of MeUndies? It's on MeUndies. Caw!
Sissies, Good things come in big packages at MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/RealityGaze.
That's MeUndies.com/RealityGaze for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies.
Oh my God, Poodle, I can't stop singing that song either. It's so catchy.
So catchy. Sissies, we are obsessed with the Songfinch original song that we premiered at the Toronto Live Show. Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever.
For example, we wanted to create a song dedicated to our Canadian listeners, some of which have waited 4 to 5 years to see us live. After the show, we had so many people tell us how special the song made them feel, and we are still getting DMs and comments about it.
And the Songfinch songwriter was so clever, incorporating all our sissy references like Aunt Peggy's Lip, Elizabeth Smart, and even Keep Going Queens.
Yes. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
You can also choose unique add-ons to make the gift even more personalized, like a vinyl record of your song or a piece of one-of-a-kind art made from your lyrics. You can even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or a wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anywhere, anytime.
Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us, too.
Songfinch.com/realitygaze. Now, Gary, play us out with a little bit of our Songfinch original song to all our queens.
Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Hey, hey,
our Canadian listeners. We know you get tired of waiting. Reality Gaze is coming to you, so no more complaining. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies, love yourself, never be ashamed. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies, love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Have hope, have hope. Keep going, queens.
Now it's time to talk about Funny Girl.
I wasn't even sitting on the couch anymore. That's why it doesn't matter.
It's time to talk about, y'all, it's time for Poodle's Broadway Corner. Pull up a chair.
You get 4 minutes.
It may go past that. So I've gotten lots of DMs about my opinion about this. You guys sending me articles, sending me juicy articles. I've been sent either a lot of the same articles by my friends too. But I'm of course talking about the Funny Girl debacle or on Broadway. And if number one, if you don't know anything about Broadway or don't really give a shit,
I raise my hand.
How dare you? How dare you? That's not true. You like Broadway.
I like Broadway, but I don't really care what happens. Well, I guess I do this care is, some.
Or if you don't like drama.
I only care because you work
no,
in it.
No, this is drama, though.
It
this is
drama.
This is juicy fucking drama. This is the juiciest fucking drama Broadway's had in a while.
True.
This is as juicy as when Bette Midler demanded 2 days off from Hello, Dolly. It's like the juiciest thing.
Like it when Patti LuPone yells at people.
True, but that's just expected. That's Patti LuPone. Don't take my 4 minutes! So, if you remember, like last year,
sometime, Beanie Feldstein was cast. Beanie Feldstein of Booksmart and Lady Bird. Booksmart was her kind of lead role. She has a lead in one movie. She's been a
her brother is
Jonah Hill.
Jonah Hill,
somewhat famous Hollywood actor,
little,
who's also one of the producers on
the musical,
and also her father is an investor. nepotism, but. So there's that going for it. There's a Ben Platt-ish kind of thing going for it. Mm-hmm. So that was announced. And I find Beanie Feldstein funny. I think she's a fresh comic viewpoint. I think she's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
If you were out there and you heard she was starring in Funny Girl, you're like, well, what does she sound like? And you Googled as soon as I did. And like, oh, that. And you went, uh-oh, this is going to be a disaster.
Because she can't sing.
It's not that she can't sing. The voice is passable. And I say that in a way that if she was cast in a new musical where she was to be funny and ironic and where the power in her voice did not matter. Instead of like a Barbra Streisand, Barbra Streisand, by the way, was the lead in Funny Girl. If you don't know anything, and learn your gay history,
It was actually written for her.
I'll talk about that a little bit.
Oh, Jesus.
It actually wasn't written for her. It was made harder because Julie Stein, the composer, only wanted Barbra Streisand. So Julie Stein, the composer, wrote a score because they were considering a lot of different actors. And they were considering a lot of actors who were actor-singers.
You're going to be gay after y'all listen to this.
And Julie Stein says, but I only want Barbra because I wrote a show called I Can Get It For You Wholesale, and Barbra was amazing, and I fucking love Barbra Streisand, and she's going to be this role, and I'm going to make her a fucking star with this. And he wrote it so difficult because he knew her range. And the producer's like, well, the composer's Julie Stein, and he wrote this so hard, so I guess we're going to cast Barbra Streisand. She became a star.
There you go.
And she sang the ever-loving shit of it out of it.
She did.
And if you haven't seen the movie of Funny Girl with Barbra Streisand and Omar Sharif, it is fantastic.
It's a great movie.
Mostly for the vocals, the plot isn't great. We're going to put a pin in that. We're going to talk about it later. So, I have a lot to say. Again, you can fast forward
2 minutes.
I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck. So, when she was cast, show queens like me went, wonder how long this is going to last. I kept waiting for the project to be, for the plug to be pulled, because there was a Lea Michele, Ryan Murphy revival in the
years ago
that was the pull was plugged. By the way, there has never been a revival of Funny Girl, and it's one of the few big Broadway musicals that has never had a revival. Okay. We're talking 60s, you guys, and there's never been a revival. That's weird. Here's why. You can't have a star who sings the shit out of it like Barbra Streisand because it's so immortal. Also, the book is a steaming pile of garbage. It's a bio-musical. It's what I call, this happened, then this happened, then this happened, then this happened.
Which makes a better movie than a musical.
It doesn't even make a really good movie, but it makes a better movie than it does a musical.
No, that's what I said. That vehicle works better in film than...
Yes. Yes.
You can do things with camera work and make it more exciting and underscoring. It's not the same in a stage.
So, the book is trash. Take that. Know that. Harvey Fierstein wrote an updated book. I have actually, I knew someone associated with it, and I asked them for a copy of it. I read it. It is barely different than the original.
Oh, okay.
It's just a little updated.
Okay.
Because the Starks, who are, not Stark, I think it is Stark, but they are the descendants of the Bryces. They don't want to change anything in that book because that was most like Fanny Bryce.
Fanny Bryce was a real person, if you don't know.
Yes, Fanny Bryce had baby Snooks and a lot of characters.
Google it. We don't have time.
Anyway, so that's who Funny Girl is based off of.
All right.
And so the family of Fanny Bryce doesn't want them to change the book that much. So a lot of them are still alive, so they have to approve all of it. So, this is part two of this story. I said...
Now I know what you felt when you were having to listen to the Aunt Peggy story.
Yes, I'm glad. So, but this is all new information. Unlike Aunt Peggy, I knew all of it. So, this is...
I already know all this because you told me this in an Uber.
On a 20-minute Uber ride, I did.
You just talked to me about it.
So, you guys,
there were rumblings halfway through of when Beanie Feldstein leaves, Lea Michele's going to replace her. Those were tamped down, of course, because when Beanie Feldstein was announced, Lea Michele said nothing. And you guys, she's been like slyly auditioning for this role. That was a big plot point on Glee.
It was a huge thing on Glee.
She actually was in on the show of Glee.
She was in the revival. Like her character of Funny eventually Girl. Was in the arrival.
Like, y'all, this is like Stanley Kowalski and Blanche saying, we had this date with each other from the beginning.
She literally manifested it.
Or had a voodoo doll of Beanie Feldstein sticking her.
Yeah.
Now, but I'm saying, Lea Michele was inevitable. Now, let me tell you about Lea Michele. Everyone who's worked with her has had a problem with her.
She's horrible.
She is considered to be difficult. There was a big report of a black actress.
Did she say I'd shit in your wig?
Yes, a black actress who worked with her on Glee saying the microaggressions that I experienced working with Lea Michele were too much for me. I don't think she went as far as calling her straight up racist. But and the Broadway community has not said a word. Some of the TV community, like people like Yvette Nicole Brown, said no one's really said anything like Samantha Ware.
Because let's be honest, Lea Michele was not playing a character on Glee. Lea Michele was playing herself.
That's what a lot of people have been saying.
Yeah,
I'm really being clear here with saying there has been one actress who has worked with her on Glee who said. This is racist behavior. Okay. A lot of other black women she worked with have either liked posts. There has been no one who fully said blah, blah, blah.
Didn't what's her name who died said that had a bad relationship with
Naya
her.
Rivera? Yeah, everyone did.
Yeah.
But no one straight up called her a racist.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. So, because one of the reasons this is tricky, you guys, is Broadway is so afraid of eating its own.
Yeah.
TV film isn't.
No, yeah.
And so we have one person. Do I believe my racist microaggressions? Of course I do.
Yeah.
But it is very interesting that we have no one really going on the record besides this one person.
So get back to how this ties into Beanie Feldstein and the show.
Okay. So,
Did we just switch bodies?
Thank you. No, this is good. So, Beanie Feldstein was doing it. They were rehearsing for the show. Everyone was kind of like in the Broadway community, why haven't we heard any rehearsal footage? And everyone like me said, it's because she really can't sing the score.
Because usually on a Broadway show, even I know this, like they'll put out a thing that they're in like a rehearsal room. You see them dance. You see them do a song. It gets people excited to see the show. They put it on social media.
Finally, we heard the last four notes of Don't Rain on My Parade. And it was okay at best. And they put that out like 3 weeks before they opened. Now, meanwhile, they'd sold a big advance, which is the big thing you want for a Broadway show, especially a revival. You want an advance of tickets. People who don't know anything about the show or how it's going to be, you sell a couple months out. They had managed to do that. By the way, my theory about this is, it's not really Beanie's fault. It's not really Lea Michele's fault. This is TLDR. It's bad producing in the worst possible way. And if you read the Daily Beast articles, everything about this that you could get your hands on like I did, it was basically as soon as the review, everyone knew she could not sing the score because the score is too difficult. I knew she couldn't sing the score. Everyone who knows anything, we're like, this is a debacle. Lea Michele's going to replace her really quick. We all knew that. Because Lea Michele, like I said before the break, is inevitable when it comes to this role. And it doesn't matter.
I'm aging.
It does not matter how shitty she's been. Carl's wives, who love Glee, will pay tickets. And
that's
the only thing Broadway producers care about is the bottom line of money and
that's
recouping.
True.
And I want to say, for everyone who thinks the Broadway producers should do the right thing and not hire Lea Michele.
They never have.
It'd be the first time.
Yeah, they never have.
So I need everyone to stop saying, this person should not be hired. And I've seen a bunch of articles about that. This is not TV and film. This is Broadway, sadly, where your bottom line, which is floundering, and your bottom line is money.
And because they don't care, because Lea Michele has a ton of fans from Glee. She's the, because usually...
That's why I said this was inevitable, and I had people argue with me about how she said all these things, and she's probably a racist, and she's a terrible person, and I went, all those things can be true, but she's still going to get the role because she can sing the fuck out of it.
Yeah.
So that's the naivete of the community. What's interesting, though, I'm talking about the blogger community. The Broadway community has been throw away the key. Because they don't talk shit about their own.
So she replaced her.
She's not, she will later be, I should say, there's another chapter to this story.
Because I heard it in the Uber, y'all. I want him to tell the whole story.
So the other thing is, so she said she was leaving Beanie Feldstein because she got bad reviews. And the reviews basically said she wasn't, she was funny, but she couldn't sing the score.
Yeah.
And universally, she got, there may have been three or four positive reviews, but they were all bad. The next day, of course, production said, we've got to get a new lead. And also, she got COVID for 2 weeks. She was out. Her understudy, Julie Binko, was getting, like, accolades. They're like, see it with the understudy. So they were having more ticket sales on Thursday than they were having the rest of the week. So that, and Beanie Feldstein, obviously, with the producer says, I'm not being supported here. And they're like, what do you want us to do? What can we do? And so half the producing team said, we're staying with Beanie. We're staying with her version of the show. And the other said, the show's dying. What do we do?
Because they had the advanced ticket sales, yeah. But then didn't the ticket sales drop off?
60%.
Yeah.
And y'all, 60% in summer for a big revival and not a new show, that's death. And they knew it. And the thing is, there were a lot of critics who said this is a fatphobic decision because Beanie is a person of size.
Mm-hmm.
There's something to that. But more importantly, she's not right for the role. She's not right for the role because she can't sing the role. Full stop. That's where we stop.
Yeah.
You can't say, but she also could be, but anyone can be the size. Nope, full stop. She can't sing the score. Move on. That should have been the first producing decision.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so 2022 that sometimes that doesn't matter. And that's the first qualification. So.
They do it in movie musicals all the time of casting people who can't sing the role.
But
they're able to.
But that's one time.
Yeah.
You can't do that 8 shows a week.
Yeah.
So. It was kind of...
And they're able to massage it electronically and sound.
It was kind of quickly under the table announced that Lea Michele might be... And it was, of course, the production who floated this, you guys. And, of course, Beanie Feldstein lost her shit that this might be true. And then as soon as that was... A Gawker story came out about it. And Gawker and Beanie Feldstein says, you will talk to production. You will now only communicate with me through my representatives. And that's when it got ugly.
Mm.
And then she said, she put an Instagram thing on a notes app, said, the production has gone to a different direction. Not true. The only different direction is we don't like you and we're casting someone else. There is no different direction. The different direction is we're kicking you out. And
because she left the show early.
She's leaving the show July 31st. And they're giving the understudy a month. And, Lea Michele's coming on in, I believe,
September.
And Jane Lynch, who was in Glee, is leaving 2 days before or the day before Lea Michele's coming in.
Oh, really?
Y'all, this is pettier than petty.
Because Jane Lynch can't stand her.
Y'all, read everything you can about this. It is riveting.
And tickets for Lea Michele are already going for like $2,500.
Yes. Yeah. Through the roof.
Through the roof. So they don't care about what she said because they're making tons of money now.
Full stop.
And they'll probably run it all the way through December and make a very successful show this.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is sad.
And y'all, she's going to sing the fuck out of the score. She's never going to Tony because this is a revival or this is, right, she's a replacement. So, and they're probably never going to make a cast album.
which I don't think I'd want to hear Beanie Feldstein sing anything, so I'm okay.
They might make a cast album afterwards.
Mm-mm. Cast albums don't get, unless it goes to an air theater.
Mm, we'll see.
There you go. That is Poodle's Broadway Corner.
I've aged. I don't even know where we are now. Who are we talking about?
Ari and Beanie.
Oh, yeah, they're quick.
This is interesting. This was this kind of, you guys, we had one of these, she's got her composition notebook out, running wedding vows. We don't see what they are.
Maybe Ryan Murphy will make a movie of this like 10 years from now.
Oh, there needs to be a series.
That would be good. Sorry,
and it needs
ahead.
To be called like Broadway. Ryan Murphy's Broadway.
Yeah. Not So Funny Girl.
Yeah.
They'll make it a different name.
So,
sorry.
It says 20 days out. It shows her in her wedding dress. We don't see, y'all, we saw none of this. 15 days.
Well, no. It says 20 days to wed, and she's writing her wedding vows. She's like, we don't really know if we're going to have a wedding or not. I feel like this whole thing is fraudacity. Yeah,
it just is.
Feels like they're going to get married. And that's when we see her wedding dress. And her hair looks terrible again. And her eyes kind of look like she's on something and just zoned out, to be honest.
I'm sorry. Why are you on television and you're not doing anything for your look?
I don't know.
As I said before, she's one of the few people I've ever seen who can have greasy hair and dry hair at the same time.
And we're going to get there, but we're going to talk about her mom jean look later on when she came home.
Do you know how she kind of lumbers?
It does. She doesn't need to wear.
She kind of lumbers.
I like a high waisted jeans, but she was full on wearing like mom jeans.
Yeah, it was mom jeans.
Ugly blouse. It wasn't cute.
She kind of. It almost looks like she has problems walking.
Maybe.
Doesn't it?
Kind of. She lumbers. She does lumber.
She lumbers.
It's like a Brittany walk.
She's a lumberer, y'all.
She's a lumberer.
Ari's a lumberer.
So yes, we see the wedding dress. Then they do.
I kept writing. What's happening?
15 days of wed, and that's where she's stuck, y'all. Why are they 15 days away? The first little like flashback they showed was her talking to Leander about him
Leandro,
not coming to
but
the
yes,
wedding.
She sounds like Leander.
Not coming to the wedding.
Yeah.
Why would they not show us this whole scene?
I don't know.
Why would they not show us? So is there more? Is there like better stuff coming?
I don't know.
Or are they just ending them?
Because
there's seven people and they need more room for the shit show that is Eva Mohammed because it's going to get bad.
I feel like they are giving us more room for...
Because they're wrapping up her and they're wrapping up...
I think Emily and Kobe are going to be messy.
Because next week...
And Eva Mohammed are going to be messy.
Next week, Karen Guillermo are getting married.
Yeah.
They're getting married next week.
Yeah.
We saw the preview of them trying to act like Kara's not going to show up to her own wedding. Although I don't think I saw balloons at that wedding. I would be offended.
So I think there must be... I think there has to be three more main episodes then. Because I think we're going to need that much. So we're going to need...
We think there should be three.
Yeah.
Or they're going to have a three-part tell-all.
It's either three more episodes with a two-part tell-all or two more episodes with a three-part tell-all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Hay comes out 28th. Unless for some weird reason... 90 Day Fiancé will take off 2 weeks a year, but I don't think they would take off in August.
I don't think
they're going to take off again until probably December or Thanksgiving weekend.
So, what did you think? Anyway, she's trying on her dress. The dress isn't bad. You know, you guys, I always say, if you're a woman with tattoos, make your tattoos kind of correlate with your dress. It just looks better that way, I think.
Yeah.
And these don't really.
No,
but
they don't.
I think she looks okay. Does she look like does she look kind of like a dog on its hind legs wearing a wedding dress?
Yes.
Because, and I'm not saying she looks like a dog. I'm saying she looks out of place.
Yeah, I agree.
It's like dogs playing poker.
I agree.
Yeah.
And
even she's like, I didn't think I would wear a wedding dress.
It really is sad that they become less interesting. I have to say that Bunny Girl story is more interesting than their storyline now.
I know. Yo, that Bunny Girl has been riveting.
Whereas they're just kind of petered out because they did the 15 days of wed. Then Leander says, no, I can't come.
Yep.
Then they cut to 11 days to wed. They're looking at the venue and Ari's like, we're going through the motions of planning a wedding, but I'm not sure. And then they cut flat. Y'all, this all happens just bam, bam,
the
bam.
The hoopa.
Then 7 days to wed.
It's her grandmother's scarf and Beanie's scarf from Ethiopia.
Yes, that's a hoopa.
And then, y'all, all these would have been episodes.
That's why I can't figure out. It's either they had an embarrassment of riches, or that means the next couple of episodes could be 90 Day Gold.
We don't see next week them getting.
We do not see that.
We saw nothing of them. So I have a feeling they're not even going to be on next week.
Probably not.
I think they're going to be. I think they're going to wrap up Karen Guillermo next week.
Yep.
Take off of R and B next week. So then that'll make sure they have 6 and 6.
So I think we might have 3 full episodes left.
That's
to go.
The only reason. So
we'll have 15, 16, 17, 2 tell-alls.
Yeah, they do it that. And then.
What I'm thinking.
7 days to wit. I have to say, it's really sweet that Beanie is making pants for Avi.
Who knew Beanie sewed?
It's really sweet. It's
and
really,
I'm not
really
talking about Beanie Feldstein.
No, we're talking about Beanie.
I don't think Beanie Feldstein can sew.
We don't know.
Who knows? She maybe can.
Maybe your wife can. Did she get married?
She did.
Yeah. So Beanie soon, and Avi's coming up there and putting on the, God, that baby is cute.
It's a Avi's such a cute baby.
And so, but he said, I'm not sure the wedding is happening. We're still discussing. And the producer, stop, Beanie. The line is, I'm not sure this is still happening. Can you say we're still fighting? Oh, yes.
And then there's this weird thing at the end that it says basically there, which 90 Day usually doesn't do. They kind of get together, and Avi pushes them together.
Well, no.
They...
You way fast forward.
Sorry, I didn't mean to.
Because Ari walks up in her mom jeans.
Yeah.
And that's she lumbers. She's saying. She's like, I feel defeated. Since we moved, we haven't made much progress in our relationship. She said, I thought when Benny moved here, he would see what America's like, and he would understand me better. Y'all, it's all these weird generalities, and it's nothing specific because... They don't have real problems.
And
I mean, they do, and that neither of them really wants to work a real job, and they want Ari's parents to support them. But that's not a good enough plot line of 90 Day Fiancé.
You know what it is? I think their problems have been dwarfed this season by Emily and Kobe, Bilal and Shida, even Muhammad.
Yeah, it's just they're
maybe Thais and Patrick.
Y'all, they're
everybody else is fine.
They're
y'all.
Already. They're together. They're going to probably end up having another baby down the line.
Will.
Like, and so that's where she like, it felt like a 22 minute sitcom ending of she sits down and she's like, and then I looked at
you bring back my smile.
And then you bring back my smile. And you know, the producer said, Avi, make mommy and daddy kiss. Yep. And he puts her head together. My heart melted when he did that, even though her hair still looked terrible. And she was wearing that horrible outfit, but I thought it was cute.
I will say, y'all, the people who like her, you have to work really hard.
You have to work really, really hard.
It's so easy to dislike her.
It is.
Shall we talk about...
Gibberish.
We're going to skip Karen Guillermo and do them last, but let's talk about Gibberish, Jabri and Miona.
Again, this has been a hot mess, yet they're 15 days to the wedding. Even Muhammad,
43. Now, what do you think about the parents? This may be completely controversial. When the parent says, let's talk about when we've been talking about wanting to move out and when that would be. And for a minute, I was like, that's heartless. And then I heard them say, we've been trying to talk about, you said you want to stay with us for a few months. And Jabri is so avoidant, he's reluctant to even talk about it.
And then they said, and Jabri said, well, but you said I would move out at the end of the year. That's still a month away. And they go, that's a month away.
And I went, wait.
Oh.
I know, me too. I went, oh my God, could y'all have been the adults the whole time?
So Mahala is super passive aggressive, and I still have
terrible.
And Brian is too.
But reasonable.
We forgot Jabri is
15
a
years
fucking
old.
Child and really is 15 years old. She's vacuuming again.
She's vacuuming.
Y'all can't hear it though. But yes, I went. I had that moment.
I know.
Where
I went. Okay. I want to know if you had that too.
Okay.
Oh
yeah.
These are the actually. And you know what?
You both are exhausted.
There are 4 people in the room, 3 of whom are adults.
Even Miona is kind of like, she didn't say this, but you could tell that she's like,
She said, we need to leave.
This is what I always wanted to happen. And she realized.
And then she's like, but I feel bad for Jabri, for man baby Jabri, that his parents are feeling, he's feeling unsupported by his parents.
Yeah.
Even his reaction is, so you want me out, huh?
And they're like, no, not right now. What are your plans for a month? And he's like, well, if you just want me out, you want me out. We're leaving tonight.
And that's when I went, holy fuck. This is how they've had to handle him
his entire life. Entire life.
They've had to give him, they've had to tell him the whole time. So, Jabri,
but Mahala,
we need to
think
about this.
But I think Mahala's enabled this.
I agree.
She babies him and spoils him and tells him.
And Brian's been tough. Brian's been heavy. Brian's been bad cop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she tells him, no, all this. And she makes him feel like he's so special and unique and all this.
I totally agree.
But it is their fucking pattern.
That's when I went, y'all, we've hated on them all season long. And we've thought as Jabri is the victim of all this. No, he's the problem.
He's the problem. I think he and his mother's relationship is the problem.
I agree.
Because you're right. She makes her husband be the bad guy for
every
time.
Yeah.
Because she would never be direct to her baby.
No. So, y'all.
So, I want to say, Brian said, it was so passive aggressive. He's like, so, are you getting somewhere with the wedding? And Jabri's like, well,
when
we're
is
still
it?
Thinking.
And he's like,
well, are you getting.
Where is it?
Some when? When the wedding? Like, and Jabri's like, we're still waiting.
Oh, I was loving every minute of it.
And he's like, yeah, we're still figuring out the somewhere and the some when. And Brian said, yeah, so that's what we're trying to figure out. And Jabri's like, we need more time. And he's like, this is bullshit. And then he says to his parents, you both aren't being supportive. You guys, I will say, you can't tell a parent they're not being as supportive.
When you're living with them.
When they're supporting you.
I know.
Like, with money. Y'all, they're actually feeding him.
He's looking so foolish right now. And
no,
I don't think
he's going to look more foolish next week when he moves out wearing matching pink coats with his girlfriend. That's when he's going to look the most foolish.
I don't know why they think it's cute.
When I saw next week on Not and they're moving out in their fucking pink parkas,
and they're moving out like at night because it's that,
they're
going to
leave tonight.
Night. Yeah.
He's going to say, you want me out. We're leaving tonight. He's going to call Space Cash and says, bring the spaceship. I need a place to stay.
And y'all, this is something a 12-year-old does.
Oh, this is like when you're 8 and your
parents
make you angry.
This is what I did, told my mom I was like 4. I said, I'm not doing anything you say anymore. I'm going to go live with Aunt Jane. And I went all the way out to I took my bag, y'all, and I said, I am running away.
And you pranced.
I took my bag out and I walked all the way out to the driveway, way out because our driveway was very long. And then there was some dogs across the street that scared me. And I went back and I told my mother, I don't want to live with Aunt Jane. I love you. And my mother still tells that
story.
And
your mother looked at you and said, or called your dad and said, Jaybird's a faggot.
Y'all, the most dramatic thing you can do as a child is pack a bag
and
run away.
And run away. And that's what Jabri is
and
doing.
And I did it at like age 5.
I don't think I ever did.
Oh, I tried to do it several times.
I bet. Made that threat a lot.
I threatened to run away a lot. Mostly because I love a good storm out.
You do. You do love a good storm out.
I did say I was going to live with Aunt Jane.
And see, this one.
That was the worst of it.
Most people would say, I'm moving out and I'm going to figure it out on my. Or they say, I'm leaving and you're going to go stay with your best friend. Your gay son wants to go live with his aunt who has pretty lipstick.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Because I bet Aunt Jane had pretty makeup.
She did.
Or, yeah, maybe she does. I don't know now. Anyway, so
that's all I've got.
Yeah, Mahala even says, like, this isn't personal, Jabri. We've said over and over you need to make plans.
And weirdly, I think they are finally,
It's like...
This is a slap in the face.
Every single time, they're like, we have to set a boundary and we have to stay with it. It's the only way will ever budge.
They say to the camera, that's the way you have to set very clear boundaries with Jabri.
And you're right. The mom enables, and Brian is the only one who is the heavy.
Because Jabri says, maybe you guys could help. He looks at him and says, maybe you guys could help us figure it out. And Brian says, you're 28. It's your wedding.
Y'all, you're
an adult.
You're grown at 28.
You're grown.
Shall we talk about Karen Guillermo?
Let's.
And baby G.
Okay. Next week when we see him in his suit,
that
he looks
denim,
so hot.
Okay, I gotta
it's
say.
It's the perfect summer wedding, like casual. They're going to have a beautiful 90-day
and she's
going to
look
wedding.
Gorgeous.
They're going to have a fucking, it's going to be like fucking Evelyn and
David's
wedding.
I'm saying this now.
But with people we like
people,
more.
People have been shitting on her. I guarantee you if she stays in this 90-day universe, if she's on Pillow Talk or they're on Happily Ever After, people are going to wind up liking her.
I like her now. I know some people come, but
I find her annoying on the show, but I know what we're doing. I know what the show is doing. So I do need to play this excerpt because all that I hear when...
Guillermo calls his mother, Roxanna!
But here is everything I can hear when I think of Kara.
By the sailor man.
She does keep saying, I am what I am.
I am what I am.
I am what I am.
And I'm a lot. I'm a
Y'all,
lot.
Y'all, I'll be honest. I would be, if we were at a frat party and Kara was there, I would talk to her for 5 minutes. I'm like, I'm going to go like talk a straight guy out of his pants. You would sit and talk to Kara all night long and you'd be best friends with her.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then I would have like seduced a straight frat guy.
Well, I also would have wingman her and got her laid.
Yes.
And she would have wingman me with a gay guy. Like she's that type
No, she wouldn't.
Oh, I think she's with her other gay best friend.
Maybe.
She would do that, I think.
So, let's talk about.
So Guillermo talks to his mother.
1 day left.
The wisest woman in their whole storyline.
Oh, my God. She's amazing.
I love Roxanna.
First of all,
her lips. She came ready for this interview. I'm sure Kara coached her on her makeup.
And she said, place the camera. Are you going to place the camera exactly where I can see it? And so this is the thing, you guys. Both of them have supportive systems.
See it like where they can see the wedding. Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, Mom, I had a haircut the other day, and this really smart woman named Kizzy.
Kizzy
told me that we needed to fix all our problems before we get married. And Mom says,
she's really vacuuming loud
so
now.
So loud. And so Mom says, look, in marriage, there will be always things you need to fix. You can't fix everything before
and
you get
she
married.
She even says,
and that is such a 90-day thing.
But she said an even better thing, which I thought, and guess what? Right now you have older things, but then there will
be new things.
There's always going to be a new thing you're going to have to fix.
She was wise.
That's what a marriage is, son. And he said, well, she was upset that I brought it out 2 days before the wedding. He said, well, Roxanna said, doubts are normal.
Yeah.
But since you have met Kara, she is a happy spirit. She is a free will thinking woman. Yeah. She has shown you who she is.
And you need to let her be.
You need to let her be.
And let her. And she's a grown woman.
And she needs to let you be.
Yeah.
I went.
And honestly, again,
holy
you guys,
shit.
I've said this at all the live shows. We check in on them. They have no problems. They're mining everything they can get here. We all have Karen Guillermo problems.
Yeah, we do.
We do not all have Bilal and Shida problems.
No.
We do not all have Kobe and Emily problems.
Well, some people keep getting pregnant. It's happened.
But rarely is someone as insidious as
Amanda
Emily.
Henderson got pregnant 3 times in high school, all different guys.
What?
Yeah, her freshman year and then her junior year, and then at the end of the year she's pregnant at graduation. She finished high school though.
But why did she have that taken care of?
Well, she just had a lot of kids.
No, I'm saying you didn't need to have 3 kids in high school.
Well, it was Oklahoma. You couldn't send them away. You know, you got to keep them. They were very religious. So
maybe you get on birth control or use condoms.
Well,
that's what I'm saying.
I'm just saying, I don't know if she got the message. She was still able to, she showed she showed cows pregnant in at 4-H.
I understand that, that's
I think she won a blue ribbon.
I understand that that's a win for some people.
Because I remember it hanging on the hallway in high school of her like eight.
We have to move on.
Her like eight months pregnant standing by a cow with a blue ribbon. And I went, even then I looked at that. I said, that's something to look at.
Sorry,
she's still not vacuuming. All right. Anyway,
y'all, my upstairs neighbor's so fucking OCD.
I could tell that story. You just went on a 25-minute Beanie Bernstein rant.
Feldstein.
Whatever.
So, y'all, the next thing you need to know is Kara is still worried about how he feels about.
Well, Guillermo apologizes to her.
And honestly, it was shitty.
It was shitty of him to do that,
to unload on her and saying, "I'm not even sure I want to marry you." And she, y'all. We rarely see Kara kind of taken aback.
I think she was very justified in her reaction.
Me too. And he apologizes. He's like, I didn't mean to make you feel insecure. And she's like, yeah, maybe not question our entire relationship 2 days before the wedding. Fair.
Very
totally
fair.
Totally fair. And because of what your hairstylist says.
But do you see how
your spiritual advisor, Kizzy.
Kizzy, he looks at her and he says, He calls her mama or mom.
Mommy.
Or he's like, mommy. And he looks at her like a fucking movie star because he's gorgeous and he has that star. Did you see
he does have star quality.
And then he said, I'm going to show up.
Yeah.
And I kind of melted in my butthole.
It was
swoon worthy.
Both of them are stars. And that's why out of this entire season, you guys... Out of this entire season, they are stars.
Oh yeah,
and their producer is like, I have lightning in a bottle.
It's lightning in a bottle with
them. Yeah, and they look good together. They look different. They're not a boring couple.
No,
they're both funny.
It's everything he's very concerned with how he looks, so he's stylish.
I promise you, it's the new Libby and Andre.
Yeah, I agree.
Yep. So with actually...
I called it. First episode.
I think we both did, but that's okay.
Gary, roll that tape.
Anyway. Speaking of, we had a great Gary in Denver.
We did.
One Gary actually refused to run one tracks. Gary.
And then
I lost my fucking mind.
And then someone with the Christian name of Christian did it for us.
Yes.
So, it's...
We're going to have a bachelorette party.
I like that she's doing this like pajama party at her house, like because probably Guillermo would be way more triggered if she went out with her friends.
It is like thinking about him.
She didn't say that, but I thought I think she is though.
And he said, "Be careful about the alcohol."
He's going to be alone,
and he doesn't want her. Well, he's got Chiquita, the dog.
But him just talking to Chiquita, God, he was just so hot.
But in a way. That is riveting because he knows what to do in front of a camera.
Yeah.
Can you imagine Muhammad talking to Chiquita?
Hey, Chiqui. What's so eat? Are you hungry? Don't worry. You will get
and
it done.
And y'all, guess who shows up? All her friends and one friend named Brogan, who is female.
Brogan.
Which is a very unfortunate
I'm
female
sorry.
Name.
I said this before the show started.
You did.
Your name is Brogan, your mom was a slut. Just saying that now.
That's an unfortunate name.
It's a bad name.
It sounds like a porn name.
It's not good.
Yeah.
Brogan Banks, related to Boomer.
Yes. Wow. That's a porn star.
It is a porn star.
I met him once.
Oh, my God. You met Boomer Banks?
Yes.
He has a huge dick.
He's a huge dick.
Did you meet him at the bookstore?
Maybe.
One of my favorite porn stars currently goes to our acupuncturist because I follow him on Twitter and he said, I'm looking for an acupuncturist. And I said, go to Antonio. And now he goes to him.
Who is it?
The Chirac. Or Chirac, whatever his name is.
Wait, you actually talked to your porn star about their medical
needs?
I
retweeted. He said he needed an acupuncturist. And I said, go to this person. And now he goes. Because he posted on Instagram, our acupuncturist posted a picture, and I went, That's Chirac.
He kind of fucks like a jackhammer. I'm not into that.
Oh no, I just say his name like Chicken Jenny. Chirac.
We need to move on from gay porn because it makes a lot of people uncomfortable, namely me.
How was Boomer Banks when he talked to you?
It's hot. Yeah. No, I met him at like some kind of gay club function.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And he came and talked to me. I'm like white in his type, though.
Did you sleep with him?
No, I did not.
Why not? You're on prep.
He is extremely, like, easy to talk to, and he's got good words and everything. It's got good banter. It's got good banter.
He's got good words. Oh, yeah. Lord. God, you're so easy to swim if they're hot.
Yeah, it's a problem. So, y'all, it's a pajama party, and everyone's got a bottle. Gay Mustache Tim shows up because, of course, it ain't a party. It ain't a bachelorette party without your gay friend with a mustache.
It's not. I've been that gay friend many a time without a mustache.
And I like it when she's like, who thought I would get married?
Raise your hand.
And she's like, eh.
Everyone's silent. And so she kind of says like, but you guys, he was questioning the relationship. And there, I will say her friends didn't really go, they didn't do what Eve Squad does.
No.
Go, oh my God, he's terrible for you.
I do want to say the friends are okay with her getting married, but one part of them doesn't want her to get married because she's the messy friend.
She is a messy friend.
And like Eve, she's the friend that they talk about and say, oh my God, Kara got so wasted.
But in a good way.
I
think Kara gets the party started.
She does.
They're like, oh my God, when Kara danced on that table and then we met those, that's Kara.
So y'all, a part of them doesn't want her to get
married. God, I would
love
her in college.
A part of them doesn't. She's like, I'm a handful. I'm like crazy. I can barely handle myself.
She's like, I get
it. And I'm like, I don't want to be near you.
Oh,
I know you would be okay with her.
And Brogan, her mom might have been a slut. But Brogan's pretty smart because Brogan said, look, I didn't even realize this. And we've watched this whole season. She said, he's questioning things because he's looking for security.
Amen.
So when you go out and party, he's worried, am I going to be safe? He's lost so much. He wants to gain something so great, and he's fearful of losing you.
And then the gay guy went. Everybody went. The gay guy was like, you better get married because I took off work already. I cannot do another shift at Joseph A. Banks.
Joseph A. Banks. Probably.
Yo, that's a retail queen.
Yeah.
That's two things. That queen with the mustache is two things. She's a retail queen. Actually, three things.
She could be a waiter queen.
A real estate queen, or she's a server queen.
I don't think a real estate queen. I think a server or a retail queen.
No doubt. No doubt.
And we know because we've been both of those things.
I've done all those things. That's the show.
That's the show, everybody. We're officially going to be on vacation soon. So don't tweet us. Don't message us. You know what? I'm going to end the show with, instead of...
Oh, God.
You know, we normally say there's all these lonely hearts looking for love in all the wrong places. And if you're a lonely heart, call us. Don't call us. We're going on vacation.
And we'll see y'all next week, and we'll be all refreshed. Maybe not. Hopefully, I'll have that freshly fucked look.
Hopefully, you'll get... Dick down in Cancun or wherever you're
Dick
going.
Dick down in Dallas and rail down in Raleigh.
All right, everybody. Enjoy your week. We'll see you in a week. And
the flip side.
Yes. Say bye. I don't know how to end it.
That's weird.
Fuck off. Look at my bruise.
Bye, y'all.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai.
Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.